The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today, we'll talk about doing Disney World with very little planning. That plus news and my quick tip of the day. That's coming up on this episode 87 of WW Prep to Go. And welcome to WW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WDWPrepSchool.com. Thank you for being here for episode 87. I am fresh home from visiting Gulf Shores, Alabama, where my parents just moved a few weeks ago, and I decided to go visit them for a few days, and what a great little area. Just beautiful beaches, fantastic food, so friendly. The people are just so friendly, the ones that I encountered. And so I'm looking forward to being able to visit there in between all of the Disney World trips. But it's time to get back to work. And so today I wanted to talk about how to plan a Disney World trip without a lot of advanced planning. Now, this is not necessarily a recommended approach, but it is something that some people might find themselves in the position to need to do. Somebody emailed me or left a comment on the website and said, I'm leaving in 2 days and I have no reservations. Am I crazy? Can I do this? And my default reaction was, oh my gosh, anxiety. It really, really stressed me out to even hear that. But then I thought, no, I need to figure this out. This is an issue that could probably be solved. And there are probably lots of situations where this information could be useful. One, people who don't know they need to plan in advance. They maybe just before their trip or during their trip discover, oh wait, I probably do need to think about this a little bit. Or maybe it's people who are just able to book a last minute trip, or maybe it's people that just don't like a lot of advanced planning and they sort of just want to go with the flow and not think about where they're going to eat 6 months in advance. So, you know, today is for that. And it's advice for people that either can't or did not plan a lot in advance and sort of setting some expectations and telling you how to do it in spite of not having that advanced planning in place. So we'll talk about that in just a second. As always, I want to remind you to connect outside of the podcast. I have lately been really into Instagram. I think Instagram is just really fun. It's so fun just to be able to upload a quick picture or a short video with a little caption and then go about the day. And so I find Instagram to be really fun. So Instagram.com/WWPrepSchool. If you are an Instagram user, I would love to have you follow along there. Also, as always, you can join the Facebook page and Pinterest and other social media platforms as well. And I will have news / time-sensitive things I want to talk about and quick tip of the day at the end. So stay tuned for that as well. So let's talk about planning trips and the logistics of making that happen without a lot of advance notice. So first of all, this is going to be a lot easier to do if you're going to Disney World during a time of the year that is not going to be so busy. If you plan to show up at Christmas, this is not going to work as well as it would if you were, for instance, showing up at the end of April, like say right now. And so, you know, just keep that in mind. If you go during a less crowded time, then less planning is easier to get away with. But overall, there are going to be some challenges and there's going to be some strategies you're going to have to put into place. So let's talk about dining first. Now, the biggest issue with not having advanced reservations for dining are usually going to be the popular character meals. So if you had your heart set on a certain thing and you didn't do a lot of planning, I would just sort of let that go and not expect that for your trip, because people that really wanted those were up, you know, at 6 a.m., 6 months in advance, making those reservations. However, people do cancel within 24 hours, and so it doesn't hurt to keep checking while you're at Disney World or just before you leave, because people can cancel up to midnight the night before without being charged a no-show fee. So you can check last minute for things like that. There are some character meals that are going to be easier to get than others. So just before I started writing the notes for this podcast, I checked some of the availability the day of, and there were openings at some of the places I expected to see. One is 1900 Park Fair, which is at the Grand Floridian. That's a buffet character meal, and so that's a good option. It had plenty of openings at good times. Another one is Crystal Palace, which is inside Magic Kingdom. And it has the Winnie the Pooh characters there and usually good food, although I've heard in the last few years that that has sort of been declining in quality, but it's a popular one. I wouldn't expect Crystal Palace at an ideal time. You would have an easier time at dinner than you would at breakfast, particularly before park opening. But if you're open and will take any time that is available, you might find some good options at Crystal Palace. Another one is Garden Grill, which is at Epcot, and it is only available for dinner. It's located in the same building as Soarin', and that's a really good one. Everything is served family style, and so there's often openings for that. And finally, Tusker House, which is at Animal Kingdom, and that's available 3 meals a day. And so Tusker House is a good one to look into as sort of a last minute character meal option. Now, for some other table service restaurants, you know, a lot of them do get booked up ahead of time, but in each of the parks in Downtown Disney, there are going to be some that are going to have last minute availability. Magic Kingdom often does have availability. If I'm going to keep saying that word, I'm going to have to be able to pronounce it without stumbling. Liberty Tree Tavern and the Plaza are two good ones. I have eaten at both just in the last 6 months or so, and I liked them. I especially like Liberty Tree Tavern. I just found it to be sort of calm, less busy than a lot of other locations, not too expensive, and the food was good. And so I really like those both. The Plaza is a smaller space, but Liberty Tree Tavern, it would be probably my top recommendation for last-minute table service at Magic Kingdom. At Epcot, you have a lot of choices because the World Showcase has so many restaurants. And so I think my favorite ones here would be Beer Garden, which is in Germany, and it has great German food on a buffet with live music. And so that's a really good, to me, that's a great bang for the buck. And Nine Dragons is the Chinese restaurant in the China Pavilion of the World Showcase. And it does get some mixed reviews, but my son and I just ate there a few weeks ago, and I really felt like the reviews were undeserved. And we sampled lots of different types of things and had great service. We were able to get in at the last minute. We were not planning to do a table service that day, but my son decided he would really like to try it. And so we really had a great experience at Nine Dragons. So I liked it there. And then finally, Marrakesh, which is in the Morocco section of the World Showcase. Delicious food. And they do have some live entertainment there with a belly dancer. So those would be my three recommendations for sort of last minute options. But Epcot has a lot of restaurants. So it's a good one to go to if you don't have reservations and just hope to score one last minute because of the number of restaurants available there. At Hollywood Studios, you have two that often have last-minute reservations, and they're both delicious, but very different. So 50s Primetime Cafe often has openings, and their portions are huge. So if you want to split, you also could do that easily there. And this is, you know, it looks like the 50s, looks like a kitchen right out of the 50s. My mom felt like it was like traveling back to her childhood home. And you can get a sampler, which is sort of my recommendation. It has a few different entrees that you can sample, and they're great to split with somebody else. And the desserts are huge too. If you happen to want to order a dessert, I would recommend splitting that. Hollywood Brown Derby is much more upscale and delicious, and their Cobb salad is amazing. And they often have last-minute reservations as well. We were there a few weeks ago. As I said earlier, my son and I were just there, and we were trying to decide if we wanted to do quick service or a last minute table service reservation. And there happened to be openings at both of those while we were there. And just as I was doing the show notes for this, they still had availability the day of. So those are two great options that seem to often be available. At Animal Kingdom, Tusker House and Yak and Yeti often have openings. We like both of these, have eaten at both of these within the last year, and I really like it and would recommend both. I will also talk about quick service in just a minute because there's good quick service options in all these parks as well. Downtown Disney has lots of options. I'm not going to detail them all. There are so many, but guaranteed if you go to Downtown Disney during most times of the year and you want to find a last minute reservation, you will be able to do that. Of course, if you don't want to make any reservations, you could just eat quick service, and you have better luck in some places than others. Animal Kingdom quick service happens to be one of my favorite. I like Tamu Tamu, which just has a couple of options on the menu. It's located back in the Africa section near Tusker House. And then Flame Tree Barbecue, which has been closed and under construction recently, is going to be reopened fairly soon. But even while it's closed, they're serving some of the most popular entrees at nearby kiosks. And it's just that one, those two that I just mentioned happen to be outdoors. And so if you happen to be hot, which is common in Animal Kingdom, that will not give you a break from the heat. In that case, you might want to go to Restaurantosaurus, which is in the Dino Land section of Animal Kingdom and offers, you fill your own cup so you can get refills while you're there, which I think is a nice perk if you want to get another refill on your way out the door. And it's air conditioned, so that's a good one there. And at Magic Kingdom, you have Columbia Harbor House, which is my favorite quick service outside of Be Our Guest for lunch, but I'm not even going to mention Be Our Guest because it's always full ahead of time. Columbia Harbor House happens to be my favorite outside of Be Our Guest. And then Epcot, as I mentioned, so many restaurants. And so I would highly recommend checking out any number of those. We've had great luck. There's fish and chips in the UK section. You can go to the quick service Chinese restaurant in the China section. I mean, there's just so many different things that you could do there that I think you'll have good luck even without a reservation. So that's sort of the dining portion of this. Now, FastPass Plus is another thing that we have to talk about because, of course, a lot of people make those 30 or 60 days in advance. And so if you're last minute, you won't have that advantage. The main goal here is that you need to try to get fast passes as soon as possible, whether that's 3 days in advance or the day of. You should try to book some fast passes. And for the popular rides you were not able to get fast passes for, you'll need to ride those first thing in the morning when the park opens, or if there happens to be late hours, you might have some luck late at night, particularly at Magic Kingdom. Speaking of Magic Kingdom, that's going to be the biggest challenge in this situation. There are just so many FastPass attractions, and the two most difficult FastPass reservations happen to be at Magic Kingdom, and that is meeting Anna and Elsa and riding Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. So those, you probably will not be able to get a FastPass for those last minute unless someone just happened to drop it. And so if you want to do those, you should do it right at park opening or late at night. Outside of those, you need to make sure that you go to Peter Pan's Flight and Space Mountain within the first hour. And those are, you know, or get a fast pass to ride it later. And then you also secondarily need to look at Big Thunder Mountain Splash, Buzz Lightyear, Under the Sea, Journey of Little Mermaid, and Winnie the Pooh, hopefully within the first 2 hours. And so doing that, either riding them in the first hour or getting a fast pass to ride them later will allow you to avoid most lines. And if you have a chance to do Magic Kingdom over more than one day, then you'll have an even easier time since there are so many attractions to visit there. At Epcot, it's actually fairly easy. If you have no fast passes at all at Epcot, you could ride Soarin' at park opening, and then you could ride Test Track in the single rider line. And that would allow you to pretty much avoid the line. Sometimes Test Track single rider line gets busy, but for the most part, this strategy works. And then everything else is fairly easy to do. But of course, you can get fast passes. And so I would recommend at least trying to get some so that you can avoid the lines there. So Spaceship Earth is a good one. And so if you haven't been to Disney World in a long time, that probably sounds like a crazy suggestion, but Spaceship Earth does have lines now. And so if you can get a fast pass for that, that's a good idea. You will also want to ride Some of All Thrills. If you're interested in that, it's in the Interventions East building. And so you will want to ride that. It doesn't have a fast pass available. And I always recommend doing that after a headliner. So let's say you ride Soarin' right when you get into Epcot, and then I would recommend going to Some of All Thrills next and then riding Test Track in the single rider line, something like that. But other than that, it's fairly easy to do Epcot. without a whole lot of planning. Now, Hollywood Studios. Hollywood Studios has gotten a little bit tricky. I actually, a year ago, did Hollywood Studios without any fast passes just because I wanted to make sure that it could be done. I had a theory that I could do it without much trouble, and I did it. But what happened was, in the time since then, they have reduced the number of attractions at Hollywood Studios, which makes it harder to do that. So you, of course, have, let's just pretend like you have no fast passes. You would want to ride Toy Story Mania at park opening, and then you could ride Tower of Terror next, and then Rock and Roller Coaster has a single rider line. Sometimes it's a good thing. Sometimes it doesn't buy you a whole lot of advantage. But that's one way to do it. But of course, you can get fast passes. So Toy Story Mania probably won't have availability. So you'd still want to ride that at park opening. But then hopefully you could score a fast pass for Rock and Roller Coaster, Tower of Terror, maybe Star Tours, something like that. But it's important to have fast passes here, although a year ago it was certainly possible to do it without any. Just make sure, as always, that you do the high-profile ones right when the park opens or at a late-night extra magic hour or something like that. And then finally, at Animal Kingdom, this one isn't too bad either. If you ride Kilimanjaro Safari at park opening and then you ride Expedition Everest in the single rider line, those are the two busiest attractions, and you can do it this way without any waiting or very little waiting. And then the next priorities would be Dinosaur and Primeval World. And they're over, you know, in the part of the park kind of near Expedition Everest. And so if you were to do this, you could then go visit those after riding Expedition Everest and you wouldn't have too much trouble. So I think Animal Kingdom is relatively easy to do, but I do, of course, recommend getting fast passes as soon as you can for any number of these. You know, get it so you could get it for Expedition Everest, Dinosaur, and Primeval World, or you could get it for Safari and work your way over to that side of the park later in the day. So anyway, it's definitely possible, but I would just highly recommend getting fast passes if you can. And that's going to wrap up that part of the discussion. I do want to talk about news / time sensitive things. And so the first thing is that I want you all to be prepared for the possibility of free dining. There are lots of rumors going around that it's going to be announced tomorrow. This is being published on Sunday. And so I'm talking about tomorrow, which is the 27th. Of April 2015. And if it is announced, it will be available to Disney Visa cardholders first. They get first dibs. And that just means if you have a Disney Visa cardholder that you can call and make a reservation using your Disney Visa card to make the deposit on your package. And then typically it comes out to the public on Thursday after it's been announced to Disney Visa cardholders on a Monday. So I did recently write on Facebook my advice for preparing for free dining. And so I just want to go through that right now. So the first thing is that I recommend booking more than 180 days before your trip and putting down a deposit when you do. And that's because I want you to be able to make dining reservations before it is announced to the public, because once free dining, if it's announced, it will make the reservations at the restaurants book up because everybody's going to want to use all those credits that they're getting for free. So my recommendation is always to book before free dining is announced so that you can make those reservations 180 days in advance. Of course, at this point, this is a bit of a moot point for a lot of people. But if you are more than 180 days out, and you're going to fall in the free dining period, then I would go ahead and book it now. And I do recommend only a deposit, which I'll discuss in just a minute. A lot of people do ask, when I book, should I include the Disney dining plan? And I suggest that you only include it if you plan to get it regardless of the promotion. If you only want it if it's free, I just would not book it ahead of time. And next on my list of advice is to make sure that you're traveling during the promotion dates. The dates are often late August through mid-December. Last year, free dining 2014, most of October was blacked out because October is a fairly busy travel time now. So don't be surprised if you don't get it, because there's no reason for Disney to offer promotions during times when their hotels are already booked up. So that is a factor. And then next, make sure you're planning to stay in a participating resort. Many resorts participate in free dining, but Port Orleans French Quarter and Riverside were both not included last fall. And Art of Animation Little Mermaid rooms never are part of any promotion because those are always full. So Disney doesn't have to offer promotions. So I would, if you're flexible, I would just have sort of a backup plan. Like, I was really hoping to stay at Riverside, but if it's not going to be included again this year, then maybe I'll be okay with Caribbean Beach Resort, for example. So I would just sort of be flexible on that. Make sure you're staying somewhere that offers free dining. And next is, since the promotion is so popular, you need to take advantage as soon as possible. And that's because the Disney only allows so many rooms to take part in free dining. So just because you have a room booked and you've been told that you can apply promotions later doesn't mean you're going to get it. They only allow so many rooms to take part. So you will want to take advantage of it as soon as possible. The Disney Visa card will give, you know, for people who already have it, gives them a bit of a promotion an advantage because they can book before the rest of us. Outside of that, if you book through a Disney travel agent, they will be getting the promotion for you. They will have lots of time on the phone doing that through the TA phone lines. If you're handling it yourself, I recommend actually that you book a new package online because to change your existing reservation requires calling. Unless Disney allows changes online, they will, as they always have in the past, require you to call to make edits to an existing package. The phone lines are absolutely jammed during promotion announcements. And so if your changes have to be made on the phone, I actually recommend just making a new one online. And so you will have two reservations for a little while. And then after the phone lines settle down, you can call back and cancel your previous hotel reservation and just use your new one. This does not affect your dining reservations in any way. I have done this before. And so it's a good way to sort of get your reservation made without having to stay on the phone for hours and hours. And so I recommend doing that. But it is possible that Disney will allow modifications to be made online. There have been some indications of this recently. So this advice only is to sort of get you around the long phone hold times. But if you can do it online and make changes there, then that's great. So, and that's why I recommend putting down only a deposit up front, because if you do have to book another reservation, you don't want lots of money tied up into your first package booking. You will only have a deposit, and so you won't be waiting on a lot of money to be refunded, but only the deposit. So that is my advice on free dining. And if it is announced tomorrow, I will be posting out on all my social media, especially on the Facebook page. If you don't want to miss anything like this that's time sensitive, I would recommend going from your computer, not your tablet, not your phone, from your computer, going to the Facebook page, facebook.com/WJBPrepSchool, liking the page. And then on the liked button, you can select get notifications. And that means that anytime I post something on Facebook, you will be notified of it on your personal Facebook account. And you won't miss it, because a lot of times Facebook will show you things days later. And so these time sensitive things get lost. So that's one way to do it. Another way is that I do have email lists for all the different months of the year. And so when promotions are announced, I email the people who are on those email lists. So for instance, the people on the September list, if free dining falls in September, which it always has, then I will be emailing the September list. And so you can sign up to get email alerts there. So that's two different ways that you can find out about free dining. So I would just follow along there if you're interested in getting that information as soon as possible. My alarm will be set early so that I'm up and aware of what's going on and can let you know about it if it is announced. So that's going to wrap up my free dining discussion in this news section, but let's move on to the next thing on the list. The next thing is that the Be Our Guest Breakfast, which previously only went through June 18th, has now been extended. Now it's going through July 18th. And a lot of people want to know if I think it's going to be extended past that. And the answer is yes. I don't know why they're doing this sort of incrementally instead of just saying it's open through the rest of the year, but they are calling it a test. The website indicates that Be Our Guest Breakfast is available 90 days in advance. And so I think they will extend it, and that maybe 90 days will just be sort of the ongoing rule once it's sort of a permanent thing as opposed to just a test. But as of right now, it's available through July 18th. So if that's if your travel dates fall in there, I would go online. And if you're interested in eating breakfast there, I would go online and try to get a reservation. You can pre-order your breakfast starting 30 days ahead of the day that your reservation is. So I'm actually within 30 days of my BR guest breakfast reservation. So I need to go online and pre-order it, which will save a bit of time when checking in at the restaurant. The next thing is that the Pirates of the Caribbean refurbishment was supposed to begin in May and extend for many months through late 2015. And now that will begin on June 8th. So there's lots of people that are going to Disney World in May. They're very excited because now they will get to ride it. And now it will not begin until June 8th. There's a lot of issues with this attraction, and so that's why they are taking it offline even during the summer and for many months at a time, which is very unusual, but they've got a lot of things to take care of. Just as an FYI, during this time, Pirates League, which is the sort of like Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique, you know, but instead of princess makeovers, it's a pirate makeover, that will remain open according to the cast members there, because I talked to several of them on my last trip. And the gift shop at Pirates of the Caribbean apparently will also remain open. And it's a big shop. And so it sort of makes sense that it might remain open. And so that whole area will still be available even when the ride is not. And finally, in this news slash time sensitive information section, my ebook, which I do not talk about very much. I'm so not into self-promotion that I think I only mentioned it maybe twice on the Facebook page last year. I just had it updated by a designer. It was redesigned and updated with current information. And so that is going to be published on the website the beginning of this week, either Monday or Tuesday. And if you've previously bought a copy, you will get an updated copy at no extra charge. And so, but the system that I use to notify people that there's an updated copy that they can download sometimes doesn't work very well. So if you previously purchased it and you do not receive one of those emails, then you can always just email me, and either Heather, my assistant, or I will get back with you and get you a fresh copy. But I'll be posting about this on the website just to let everybody know that it's been updated and how to get an updated copy if you previously purchased it. But just check for that at the beginning of the week. So that's going to wrap up that section. And if I do have a quick tip of the day before we wrap up the whole episode, my quick tip of the day is that if you're at a Disney World resort and you want to do laundry, you can check the status of the washers and dryers by going on a website. And of course, this website will be in the show notes. So if you're out walking or driving, don't feel the need to memorize it. But it is laundryview.com/Disney World. And from there, most Disney World resorts are listed, and you can click on the name and it'll tell you how many washers and how many dryers are currently available in the various laundry rooms at the resorts. And that'll give you an idea before you have to walk down there, only to discover that they're all full and busy. You can just check it from your phone or from your computer and then head down when there are washers and dryers available. So again, that's laundryview.com/Disney World. So I think that's going to wrap up this episode of WW Prep to Go. For more information on this show, including all the show notes, links, etc. that I have mentioned in this episode, you can go to wwprepschool.com/episode87. That is the number 87. Until next time, I'll see you on the site.